We all have struggles. We do. It's life. Usually our struggles come at a measured pace, and we can cope. We just kind of, okay, it's all right. We're navigating this okay. But sometimes our trials come crashing down upon us like waves we did not expect. And too much happens at once. And we're just like, oh. Mom is sick. Dad just died. Brother had a heart attack. Sister had a stroke. You're laid off in a downsizing. Child struggling with drugs. Doctor found that suspicious lump that needs tests. Too much. Just too much. It's a wave. It just boom, down you go. In those times, cry out to the Lord. And if you listen real close in your heart, you hear God say, I've got this. I got this. When life seems to be spinning out of control, and we look to a God who is never overwhelmed. God doesn't get anxiety. God doesn't get confused. God's got this. He's God. And God knows exactly what he's doing all the time. And God doesn't make mistakes ever. And God has plans for us. And we lose sight of that sometimes. We feel like the wave has just knocked us down and everything is disorientation and we're tumbling into water. But God still has plans for us. I share this often at baby dedications, but this is not our main text, but it's just a reminder. In Psalm 139, verses 14 to 16, David says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Did you know you're wonderful? God doesn't care if your behind is too big and your pants don't fit anymore. God thinks you're wonderful. Okay, He's got this. He says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. This part. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That text shows a confidence that David had. God's saying to him, I got this. Before you went through any of this, even before any of this came to be, I already had it written down. No surprises for me. I got this. Many of the prophecies of the Old Testament that we read at Advent season, not all of them, of course, but many of them deal with this, what we call exilic period. And it was one of the darkest times in the history of God's people. And, you know, I've already shared a couple thoughts from exilic messages, and we have another one today. O come, Emmanuel. Well, the Emmanuel, a lot of that, what they were looking for was in the exile. See, 2,500 years ago, God's people were struggling. The wave had knocked them down. They were in a bad place. Big time. Big time. King Nebuchadnezzar brought his armies. The 10 northern tribes had already been destroyed by Sennacherib, and only Judah and Benjamin remained. He overran all of the land of Judah, laid siege to the city, destroyed the temple, killed all kinds of people. Others ran away in terror, scattered, and some of the best and brightest were carried away as slaves to Babylon, which would be in modern-day Iraq. There was a man named Ethan, Ethan the Ezrahite. Never met Ethan. Ken knew him. Yeah, but he wrote a psalm that expresses both his faith and his struggles. And people, you don't have to play make-believe about your struggles. He had faith and he had honesty. And his psalm expresses both his faith and his struggles. It begins with words of praise and understanding of God's activities, and then goes to a dark place where he's trying to make sense of it all, and it ends finally in praise again. There are many psalms like this. Orientation, disorientation, reorientation. And they're wonderful psalms. A lot of times we don't read the whole psalm and we miss the raw honesty in them. Because it doesn't really make sense to be dishonest with God. Because you know what? God knows. Who are we kidding, right? Who are we hiding from? God knows. So let's listen to Ethan's words of hope and praise. Psalm 89. Look first at verses 1 to 4. Of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I'll make your faithfulness known through all generations. That's good, right? Wow, what faith. I'll declare that your love stands firm forever and that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. So there you have a beginning. Ethan was confident that God would keep his promise, that David's throne would be established forever, it would last through all generations. And he based this confidence on God's greatness and God's goodness and God keeping his word. And he continues to look at God's greatness. We're going to look at another 10 verses, 5 to 15. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness, too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the sky above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? This is faith. This is lofty words of praise in the council of the holy ones. God is greatly feared. He's more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You're mighty, O Lord. And your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You get the idea? He's got God in his mind, in his heart. This great creator, this one who's watching over the nation. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon, sing for joy at your name. Those are the two great mountains in Israel. Hermon and the north, Tabor about halfway down. Sinai further south, the last mountain. Your arm is endured with power, and your hand is strong, your right hand extended. The right hand is the hand of power, okay? Exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. Now, we've got a whole lot more there. We're going to skip 13 more verses of this lofty praise, okay? Why? Because I know your seats will only endure so long. But it's all good stuff in there. You can read it later. Skip down to verse 28, a little bit more. And here he is saying, God will keep his covenant with David. That God called David, and that covenant's going to be kept. I will maintain my love for him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I'll punish their sin with a rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. You got the picture? This is looking at God's promises to David. This is faith. This is joy. This is hope. This is confidence. This is belief. These are the beautiful words of faith in God and his power and his dependability. But we had just one problem. It was this thing called the exile. And 2 + 2 were not equaling 4, and it did not add up. Since God is God, and God's promises are true, how could the nation be slaves? How could their temple be destroyed? How could the palaces be in ruins? How could the people be dead and scattered and living amongst their enemies as second class, third class, fourth class people? How could all these things that Ethan has said about God be true and still them live in this desolate captivity as slaves? You know, that's a legit question, isn't it? Life's like that. You know God loves you. You know God had plans for you. You know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. But life is really not going that well. And it's really pretty hard. And you just wonder. Ethan continues in his struggle. Verses 38 to 52. The same man who talked about the loftiness of God and the oceans and the mountains is now expressing the depths of sorrow in his soul. And the questions that just slap him in the face. But you have rejected. You have spurned. And you have been very angry with your anointed one. Meaning David and the kingdom of David. You've renounced the covenant with your servant and have defiled his crown in the dust. You've broken through all his walls and reduced his strongholds to ruins. All who pass by have plundered him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors, you know, the great nation that used to be. You have exalted the right hand of his foes, the powerful hand again. The enemies have won, basically. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You've turned back the edge of his sword and have not supported him in battle. They got beat. They got beat big time. They got beaten down. You've put an end to his splendor and cast his throne to the ground. You've cut short the days of his youth. You've covered him with a mantle of shame. And hear this. This is the cry of the human heart when you go through the crises of life. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Been there? Have you had the dark night of the soul? How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life. For what futility you have created all men. The same one who's praising God for his greatness is feeling futile. What man can live and not see death or save himself from the power of the grave? Honest. Oh, Lord, where is your former great love, which in your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of all the nations. The taunts with which your enemies have mocked, O Lord, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one. It doesn't add up. Doesn't add up. God is God. God promised a throne to David. David's throne is supposed to be established. God's got to watch over the nation. And there is the nation. Capital destroyed. The people carried away. People dead. Everybody's mocking. It's all over. But despite all his doubts and pain and unanswered questions, Ethan kept faith. He concludes, "Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen." And amen. I love this psalm. I love this psalm because it's real. It's life. Where we live both in that place where the promises of God are true and the power of God is real and the love of God never fails, but your life is in the dumper. And don't tell me your life's never been in a dumper. Ethan was honest. He was real. His struggles were legit. His questions were totally legit. Right? And yet, God was worthy of his trust and his praise. He believed God's promises. He knew what the prophet Nathan had promised to David 400 years earlier. 400 years earlier. Got that? A promise made 400 years earlier. 2 Samuel 7:16. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Ethan believed it, but he could not see it at all. Not much evidence of that taking place in that captivity. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, God, please. We're in a bad place here. Bad place. But despite his questions, Ethan believed. Somehow, something he could not see, God's got this. God's got this. He's got it. I don't know how, but he's got it. And he was 100% right. If you fast forward less than 70 years, God's people, under the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, because the Medes and the Persians conquered the Babylonians, released the people to go back home again to their land. And under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, they rebuilt the city, the walls, and the temple. And they got a new start. Fast forward 500 more years. An angel named Gabriel appeared to a young peasant girl, a virgin named Mary. Luke 1, 26 to 33. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. And you will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him a name, Jesus. And he'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David." And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. That which Nathan had prophesied to David 1,000 years earlier, despite Nebuchadnezzar and despite 70 years in captivity, would come to pass. The word of God would not fail because God's got this. God's always got this. Even when it doesn't look like he's got it, he's got it. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ sits gloriously on the throne of David in the heavenlies, ruling over the kingdom of God. And he's been reigning on that throne for over 2,000 years. And he will reign forever and ever and ever. My friends, struggles will come. They will come. They do come. Sometimes those waves that knock us down are gargantuan. And sometimes we get hit by wave after wave after wave, and we say, "It's just too much. I don't understand this. This hurts so bad. This is awful. This is terrible." That's true. It's also true that God is still God. God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. And you may not see it at all. Ethan didn't have much to go on. But God is working in your life. Say that with me. God is working in my life. God is working in my life. Romans 8:28 says it well. All things, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. Struggles come. Count on it. Sometimes it will be overwhelming. Count on that too. But God is still God. That is always true. And God's got this. So keep your faith in the Lord. Ask your questions too. But remember, He's got this. He's got this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.